This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, moving on to our next story, we're talking about the Sedition Act. The police have been using it to open quite a bit of investigations lately. Last week, a foreigner was under the police's sights for remarks he made at the UNHCR summit back in March. In this incident, activist Numan Afifi, who was also at the summit, he was strangely called in to Bukit Aman to help police identify this stranger, this foreigner, and this incident was initially cast as if Numan was the one who was being investigated. And just today, the police said they're going to investigate a recent Rome Statute forum under the Sedition Act. The forum featured Attorney General Tommy Thomas, Professor Shad Salim Faruqi, a UM constitutional law expert, and Noor Farida Arifin of G25. So it really seems as if no one is safe from it, from the average Joe to members of royal households. And this is, of course, according to the Prime Minister. The point of the law, I guess, has always been to limit freedom of speech.
Well, not so much to limit freedom of speech. It was written, it came about in 1948.
Right.
So this was long before Malaya came into being. And it's taken from a British law, which was written in 1661, and which has actually been repealed in Britain in 1967, but we've kept it here. So it's actually designed for a state that is a monarchy, mm-hmm. and a constitutional monarchy, but a constitutional monarchy where the monarchy is very strong and the constitution not quite so strong, but definitely not a democracy. And, you know, I'm old enough that I grew up, I never heard of the Sedition Act. Hmm. I grew up with the ISA, the Internal Security Act. That was the one that was going to keep everybody quiet, make sure nobody said anything out of turn, and put people in prison for as long as they wanted. Now, when that sort of like seemed to die, suddenly pops up, there's another act where you cannot say whatever you want, and you can be put away for as long as we like. And I've actually read the Sedition Act, and I've actually taken a look from the old British one from 1661. And there are a number of, I'm not a legal expert, but mm-hmm. I know about reading historical documents. And there are a number of aspects in there which show that the document is such an anachronism. It says, for instance, in the law that you cannot be accused by merely one person and then sent to jail. And you read that and you think, well, that's a weird thing to say. But when you go back to the 1661 document, actually why it was there was actually to try to prove that the king couldn't be the sole accuser and accuse a person and send him to the Tower of London. Mm. You actually had to have some other witness to this crime. And that might be one of the reasons why they're actually going after this supposed foreigner. Because a foreigner cannot be held.
No.
For this sedition. I mean, sedition is treason.
Yeah.
How can a foreigner be treasonous about Malaysia? It makes no sense whatsoever. But part of the law is that if you receive seditious or books that have a seditious tendency, if you receive them and you don't go and then take it to the nearest police station, you can be done. So if the foreigner said something which is giving a treasonous, a seditious tendency, and you didn't do anything about it, then you can actually be done. That's anything. You could basically, during election time, when you go off as an opposition party and you campaign against the government, everything you say is essentially sedition.
Yeah.
So it's a crazy act.
Yeah, and the fact that the government seems to be, they can't seem to find their footing on this. They at first said that they will, in fact, abolish it. But now they say, well, there really isn't a timeline for this act to go away. And we're not sure whether we're going to amend it. We're not sure whether we're just going to keep it as it is. I'm always curious whether removing it is politically unpopular. I don't think so.
Well, we were talking just now about the Merdeka Center opinion poll.
Yeah.
83%, wasn't it? 83% are in favor of stronger measures to protect religions and against attacks on
insults towards race and religion, and that was 85% of the respondents.
85%, and that and the Sedition Act, I think, would be seen to be the kind of act that would be appealing to that 85%. As alongside the death penalty was very popular, so I don't think politically there's much to be gained by cancelling the Sedition Act. Also, no government ever, time and time again, it's so sad to see, no government ever willfully gives up laws that would detract from their power.
Right.
And the political philosopher John Stuart Mill said 200 years ago that government should be in the business of increasing the space of liberty. Every day they should be working to increase the space of liberty and freedoms. But no government ever does. So you came into government, you won an election, you go, oh, wow, we've got all these wonderful laws that are just going to just keep, no one can say anything to us. Well, I guess we'll just keep them.
After this, we'll be speaking to Fadia Nadwa Fikri, who's a lawyer and activist. We'll be speaking to her about her thoughts on the Sedition Act. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Kelvin and Cam, and we are talking about the Sedition Act. It's been in the news lately. The police have tried to use it, so-called tried to use it on a foreigner. They've also used it in recent investigations. This today, just looking at the Rome Statute Forum. So we're now going to cross over to Fadia Nadwa Fikri, who's a lawyer and activist. Last year in July, she was called up for investigations under the Sedition Act for an article she wrote about the monarchy. And sadly, investigations are still ongoing for her at the moment. Fadia, thanks for joining us. What we know is that the Sedition Act goes back to the days from the colonial era. And back then, what was the purpose of the Sedition Act?
The Sedition Act was first introduced in 1948. At that time, the colonial master, the British, enacted this law to suppress or to crack down on those involved in the anti-colonial movement. So from 1948 until we achieved our independence in 1957, thousands were arrested and detained under the Sedition Act. And I think it's important to note the fact that all these people who were detained under the Sedition Act were people who fought for independence for this country, people who advocated for the 1948 People's Constitution, which sought to give equal rights to all races at that time. And the British at that time saw this as a threat to their power. And of course, with the support of UMNO at that time, they decided to invoke this act to suppress dissent and also the movement to gain independence for Malaya at that time. So, and we could see, from what happened back then and how it's unfolding today, that this very act is still used by those in power to protect their positions and also to retain in power. Yeah.
So the messaging regarding the status of the Sedition Act has been a bit confusing. I mean, before this, there had been a moratorium on the use of the Act, but that was lifted. And recently it was mentioned by Datuk V.K. Liu, our law minister, that they haven't actually decided to repeal or amend the Act. So what's your read on the current status?
I think it's quite clear. If we look at the manifesto, the Pakatan Harapan coalition at that time actually promised to abolish a number of draconian laws that infringe on free speech. And then they imposed a moratorium after a huge outcry, when activists were called in for questioning under the Sedition Act for issuing criticism against the government, for example. And then it was lifted after the incident concerning the temple. So I think, and until now, I think they have not said that they will consider repealing the Sedition Act in particular. And for me, the fact that more and more people are being called in for questioning under the Sedition Act shows that they don't have the political will to repeal this particular act.
They've been brought in for questioning, but has anyone ever been prosecuted under the Act?
Prosecution, no, but there are a number of investigations already initiated after we gained the change of government on May 9th.
And does that say anything to you that there's been no prosecution so far, but it's been used quite a bit to investigate individuals who speak up on various issues?
For me, investigations under the Sedition Act constitute harassment and intimidation. I think for a country that has been ruled, with fear, the fact that people are called in for questioning under the Sedition Act is enough to show that the Act is still powerful to instill fear. And there are a lot of people who feel that, they can be questioned for voicing out their opinions. So I think that is enough to let people censor their own opinions. And that is in itself, a violation of the right to free speech. So just because people are not prosecuted at this point, it does not mean that the use of the Sedition Act is justified, because, the element of fear is there. And the fact that, people in power, people who have so much influence on Malaysian politics, keep saying that, they will invoke this law to suppress people who express dissent is enough to show that, we are still not moving forward in terms of realizing the right to free speech, particularly for people who are directing their dissent at the government and people in power.
As you mentioned, the Sedition Act stifles free speech, but there's disagreement about whether or not we should keep the Act. What are the disagreements here?
People say that, we need the Sedition Act to protect order, to protect national security. But I think the argument cannot sustain because of the fact that criticism of the government is essential in ensuring that they do not abuse their power. And also, when people criticize the government, when people criticize people in power, it does not amount to a breach of national security. And that is disproportionate to make that argument, I would say, because we have laws that under the Penal Code, for example, to deal with incitement to violence, incitement to hatred that would cause violence. It is sufficient to just refer or invoke those laws, those provisions under the Penal Code, for example, to deal with national security, public order, and so on and so forth. So for people to express dissent, for people to express criticism, these things do not amount to a breach of national security or public order. So it does not hold water to say that we need the Sedition Act to maintain order and security and so on and so forth.
A lot of promises were made to get rid of draconian acts in the lead up to the election, but it seems to be much easier said than done now that Pakatan is in government. Why has it been so hard to proceed with the abolition of laws like the Sedition Act and SOSMA and so on?
I believe that it's because they don't have the political will, and also I think because of the pressure from certain institutions. For example, in the case of the Sedition Act, the monarchy, they feel like, they can't take the risk, or they cannot afford to risk losing the support of the majority if they were to proceed with the abolition of the Sedition Act. And also to say that it's not as easy, as it seems or as it looks. For example, the abolition of the ISA, people say that, you can abolish it, if you want to. I would say that it is as simple as that, for you to abolish all these laws. You just need to table it in Parliament and just abolish these laws. And also, I think it's important to note that the fact that we want to be a democracy, the fact that we call ourselves a democracy, we should understand that people in power should not be shielded from criticism. And a lot of countries have moved, to recognize this fact. If you really want to be a democracy, that means the essential values of modern humanism concerning the individual, freedom of speech, for example, must be ensured. And also, I think it's important to stress the point that, in a democracy, the source of all power and also sovereignty must emanate from the people, not the institutions, particularly those who are not elected.
So where do you think we should go from here, where the Sedition Act is concerned?
I think it's people, who wanted change when they voted the Pakatan Harapan Coalition. We have to be aware of the fact that we have to fight for our rights. We have to fight for this act to be abolished. That means, we have to organize ourselves and demand that the government, you know, do the right thing. And I think without the demand or without this collective action, it's going to be really difficult because, you know, the power will never concede without strong demands from the people. So I think one thing that is very important is to get people to understand, you know, what democracy means, and for us to rethink and redefine democracy, because we leave so many things to the government to decide for us, and we only participate, you know, in elections, you know, by voting. But I think democracy extends beyond the act of voting. You know, it's about demanding what is the right thing to do. For example, when the government promised to abolish all these laws and they haven't done it until now, so it is our responsibility to demand that these laws are abolished. And I think it's going to be 1 year soon, and we can't afford to just, you know, sit and watch what's going on. I think we have to start making our voices heard. And the people really have to demand that the government do the right thing.
Fadia, thanks for speaking with us. That was Fadia Natwafikri, who's a lawyer and activist. And just going back briefly to some of our messages that we got earlier about Pakatan's approval ratings, some of them are about the sampling. So CY says, I just want to point out that if the sampling method was done right, findings from 1,000 plus respondents will provide a robust representation of the population. I don't work for Merdeka Center, but I think people in general should give more appreciation for the effort put into such a study. That said, I would rate the current government 6 out of 10 for now, and we'll only be able to really give a final score at the end of the term. We need to be fair to the new government. Dr. Kyrie has come in to say that from research perspective, the people have spoken if the sampling size is valid. To change the perception, Pakatan needs to do something that is popular to the people. Further, if you listen to the callers today, all are defending the Pakatan government. What does that tell us?
I guess it could tell us many things, including that Pakatan-friendly people listen to BFM. I mean, yeah, you can cut and dice and slice that one so many ways.
We have this message here from Lee, who says that if some people put as much passion into their life as they do debating politics, they wouldn't be as heavily dependent on the government.
Hey, that from a Malaysian perspective, I'm afraid that's seditious. Malaysians love talking politics. How can you take that away from them?
And I think it's actually quite important to talk about politics because it affects so many parts of our lives.
Absolutely.
This message here from Law, who says that the survey was done to gauge the approval rating of PH because they are the ruling government and expectations are high. It's only fair that a similar survey be done on Barisan and PAS. I believe that they too may not have fared so well. One of the problems with Pakatan is that most political parties we see and hear, we just hear a lot about them before the elections at the many ceramahs organised. However, as they assume the role of government, we hardly see or hear from them. They should continue to reach out to the grassroots through ceramahs to explain to the rakyat what has been done so far and engage with them. How often do we get to see our adun after elections? They only appear just before an election is going to take place. After that, batang hidung pun tak nampak.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it's not like I go out of my way every day to go and find my adun. I mean, he's like, where is he? Or she, I don't even know. But a very good point, though, to reaffirm that, yes, this is about approval ratings for Pakatan Harapan.
Yeah.
But it does not mean that if it's a 39% approval rating for Pakatan Harapan, that it is therefore a 61% approval rating for PAS UMNO. We don't know that.
And actually, it might be helpful to do a state-by-state survey as to how they feel about their own state governments.
Yeah.
More after this on the Evening Edition.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.